Dating Over 60, Valentine's Day on February 14th, Singles Awareness Day on February 15th, The Four Seasons of Dating, Finding a Date Online, Date Coaching. Do you even want to date over 60? If you're a boomer and you want to know what dating is like in 2024, keep listening.
Let's peek inside the mind of a boomer. This is Boomer Randomness, a podcast dedicated to the baby boom generation, with random observations about boomer life from boomers, including topics like music, movies, memories, marriage and divorce, retirement, bucket lists, kids and grandkids, travel, and a whole lot more. Here's your boomer host, Bernie Lucas.
The youngest boomers are turning 60 this year, and the oldest will be 78. At some point, they might find themselves single, either because of divorce or the death of a spouse, and inevitably, someone will ask if they're dating or considering dating. If you're a boomer in that position, are you dating or thinking about it? And wondering what dating is like for boomers these days? And we're counting down to Valentine's Day, so this topic's very timely. And my guest has answers to some of those questions. Cyber dating expert Julie Spira, good to see you.
Hi, Bernie. Thanks for having me as a guest during this love period that's going on right now.
Oh, yeah. It's that time. So you're a cyber dating expert, a dating consultant, an author, frequent guest on TV and radio. And I'm going to ask you about your business in a few minutes. But first, what is the current dating landscape for someone 60 plus, especially for someone who might not have been on a date since maybe their 20s or 30s?
And that's a common question, and it's a common issue, because there are so many singles that were once married, and maybe they got divorced, or you know, their spouse passed away, or their partner, and you know, they lived in analog days where they met through friends, or met in school, or met at work, and none of those are top ways of meeting singles anymore. I think that dating for 60 plus age group is it's never been easier. With thanks to these dating apps that focus on this demographic, and of course the success of The Golden Bachelor. Jerry Turner was, I think, 72. His New Jersey bride. I'm a Jersey girl, so I can say that she's 70. And I've got so many calls from so many people, because that's sort of in the age range where I have a lot of clients saying, I really, wasn't that interested. I felt fine on my own. I'm independent and I have my own money. But I watched Golden Bachelor and now I'm rethinking, do I want to find a partner? So I really will credit that for helping singles be open to the opportunity to find love. And then the question is, where do you meet and how do you meet someone? And you can't quite snap your fingers and have the perfect person arrive. So there needs to be some strategy in this.
And like you said, it's, it could be friends. I mean, and at some point maybe bars or, whatever, but it's cyber now. Tell us a little bit about how that works. Because that might be kind of a mystery to some boomers, too, if they haven't done that in a while.
Well, let's look at the reality that everybody's on their mobile phones and they're texting their friends and they're texting their family and they're searching out where to go to dinner and making a reservation. And, so suddenly dating from your mobile phone, the convenience of your mobile phone is really efficient. And so. What I want to let people know, because everyone says, I don't want to go online. Sorry, binging. I don't want to go online. I would like to meet someone that someone knows. I want to meet a friend of a friend. Well, I have this little trustworthy graph that you can't see, but I'd like to explain it. Yeah. And it was a Stanford study. I'm going to show you my graph so you can see. Kind of this one red arrow zipping to the top of the graph. Uh-huh. So what this was a study that was conducted at Stanford from a Stanford professor in, I think, 2017, released pre-pandemic in 2019. And it shows a percentage of who met this way. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so based upon the year the couple met. So when this study came out, About 40%, it was 39% to be exact, couples met online. And this was pre-pandemic when people were only forced to meet online, as compared to 25% who met in a bar or a restaurant, and only 20%, half of that number, met through friends. So for everyone who tells me they want to meet through friends, I want them to know that double the number of people are meeting through these dating apps. So if you're not on this dating app, you're losing out on the opportunity to find a hidden gem. My intuition, based upon numbers I've seen in studies I've seen since, not this one, is that number's probably doubled. So if online dating or dating apps, it's the number one way that couples are meeting, you know, between 40 and 70%, let's say that. If you're narrowing it down to the bar, let's find that the 20% in the bar or the 10% or so they're meeting for friends, you're really missing out on a good opportunity. Yeah. Yeah.
What are some of the websites? Because I mean, I've seen ads for Our Time and some others, but what's currently, you know, good and are they safe?
Safe dating is really critical to our industry, and the dating apps and myself, we have been really on the forefront of dating safety. And so they have dating safety centers. They make it easy to report a suspicious profile. And you have to use your intuition when you're meeting anyone new and meeting in a public place. And please don't get intoxicated. If you have a drink on a first date, leave it at one. Maybe don't even finish the drink. Our Time, basically, is one of Match.com's. Match has a portfolio of a lot of dating apps. And Our Time used to be Single People Meet. And it's for the 50 plus demographic. So you will see a lot of the same people on Match that you will see on Our Time. But if you don't want to get caught into the abyss of seeing people in their 20s, 30s, 40s hitting on you, then Our Time or Silver Singles or conducting a search on a mainstream dating app such as Match or OkCupid or Bumble or even Tinder and just, you know, using your, you know, search parameters and letting their algorithms do their magic by saying, I'd like to date somebody between 50 and 70 or 45 and 65 or whatever number you feel comfortable with. I always say add 5 to the top and add 5 to the bottom, because naturally, if you went to a party or a gathering and you met somebody you connected with and you had this magical chemistry, you wouldn't say, excuse me, Bernie, you know, I'm really enjoying talking to you, but by the way, can you tell me your age? Don't get hung up on age, please.
Yeah.
This is the Boomer Randomness Podcast.
We're talking with cyber dating expert Julie Spira. You mentioned things on your website and other interviews about dating seasons. Is that the right term you use?
Another wonderful graph. Yes, there are seasons for dating. Okay, so let's talk about, you know, the four seasons and the calendar. It starts with cuffing season. And cuffing season, you know, defined is that time period in the fall when the temperature starts to drop and the leaves start to fall. And it goes through probably mid-October through February 15th, because again, people are on a quest to find a Valentine's date. But before that, they'd like to find somebody to spend the holidays with. So this is when you find the most commitment phobic people suddenly going, I'm looking for a serious relationship. And the next thing you know, they're going steady with someone. So it's called cuffing season because you think about the digital handcuffs. One goes on your arm and one goes on my arm. And that's why it's called cuffing season. It's a time where singles really desire to become a couple more than ever, and they go on this quest, and it's a very busy time for me and for our entire dating industry. So that's season number one. Uh-huh. Again, bundle up and don't bundle up alone. Then we go into breakup season. And there was a famous breakup chart that was a Facebook breakup chart that came out maybe 12 years ago. And so the breakup season, the peak time for breaking up is very cool, but it's the 2 weeks leading up to Christmas. And so it starts 2 weeks before Christmas Eve, and we see this enormous peak. And it is the busiest day of the year for breakups, is the 2 weeks before Christmas Eve. And I can only say that I got emails and texts after I posted my article about, hey, it's breakup day. And I got these comments, oh my gosh, we just broke up yesterday. Or we, and so people evaluate their relationships leading into the holidays. And for some, they say, do we really want to buy a present or an expensive present? Or is she expecting a ring and I don't want to buy a ring? So these are the things that we look at. And then after that, thank goodness, Christmas Day, you know, there's nobody breaking up on Christmas Day. The deed has been done. Everybody's happy. Everybody's jolly on Christmas Day. And then it starts to slowly peak up after that, you know, as far as the breakups. But after breakup season, okay, we have season number 3 out of my 4 seasons, and that's peak season. That's the day after Christmas, December 26th through Valentine's Day. And during that peak season, there's something called Dating Sunday, a dating holiday, which is the first Sunday after the calendar, after the new year. And that's when people have done their New Year's resolutions and they say they're going to join a gym, they're going to find a new job, and they're going to find love. So the time that they have available to really think about it, and they're not busy with, you know, putting ornaments away in family, is usually the Sunday after New Year's. And it's like, I'm starting this New Year's fresh. And, you know, I broke up with somebody last year and I don't want to be single. So that peak season goes from, you know, really January 1st through February 14th. Not to be worried about not meeting somebody in peak season, even though it's the busiest time and you'd be crazy not to be on a dating after right now during peak season. Yeah. But the day after Valentine's Day is February 15th, and that's Singles Awareness Day. So if you are single, there's a day dedicated to you. And then, of course, we rinse and repeat because we get back into the summer, you know, the summer flings, you know, which is May, Memorial Day to Labor Day, and people have summer romances. And maybe they have all this chemistry and all these butterflies and they think they're the one. And then by Labor Day, they realize, you know, they were the one for the summer. And then we go back to cupping season, breakup season, peak season, and summer romances.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. As you're going through that, I never really thought about it as seasons, but I'm thinking just in my own life, it's like I've fallen to every one of those categories at some point or another.
Another statistic. But it is, yeah. It's funny because I talk about it and we laugh about it. Isn't it funny that there are seasons? But then I hear from people and people I'm working with, and they fit exactly into this. They come to me, my summer romance just ended. They come to me and they say, oh my gosh, it's the fall. And before I know it, it's going to be, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. I'd like to meet someone. So these seasons are pretty true to course.
Looking at dating again, just again, I'm thinking of, you know, people in the, you know, the boomer age range that maybe haven't done that in a long time. If dating behaviors change, like when you're on the date, you know, I mean, thinking like, you know, guys opening the car door for the woman and, you know, things like that, or women asking guys out, which, you know, going way back in the dark ages of my youth, that just never happened.
No, it didn't. And we can credit Bumble, which is one of my favorite dating apps. And Bumble is the app where you have to right swipe and the other person right swipes. And then if it's a match, the woman has to make the first move and say hello, anything other than hey, but say hello and ask a question. And within 24 hours of the match expires. And then when the man, and this is again for heterosexual relationships, when the man receives, you know, a push notification that Julie just sent him a message, you know, he's got 24 hours to respond or the match again goes into internet heaven. So I think that really was a good thing. And here are my reasons why. There are so many men that I work with and come to me and they say, we are so tired and burnt out of writing to 10 to 15 women a day and having maybe one write back. And they find it so refreshing when a woman sends more than a like, but they actually are proactive and a woman sends a message to them because they say, oh, now I know I'm good. If I write back, I have a greater chance of getting a response. So ladies, I think, you know, you should absolutely make the first move for any woman over 40. You know, that's my rule. If you're over 40 and you're female, make the first move, flatter the man, and then let him, you know, take on the regular you know, male characteristics of courting and chivalry is very alive and well. So please do open that door, pull out that chair, text with it when you get home at night to, you know, make sure they got there, they got home safely, and to say you had a good time. You know, don't play the waiting game because things have sped up. So definitely text someone the same night. And of course, when it comes to texting, leave your phone off the table. And if you have a good reason why, like you're, you know, waiting for a liver transplant or a call from, you know, a family member who's sick, then you should absolutely let somebody know, I need to keep my phone on because, you know, I have a sick relative that I'm waiting for a phone call on. But other than that, it's not an accessory. Put it in your pocket, put it in your purse. It's disrespectful on a date.
This is the Boomer Randomness Podcast.
We're talking with cyber dating expert Julie Spira. So what about sex? That might be an awkward topic for boomers who haven't been in a relationship in a long time. Kind of what's the best approach to intimacy?
Well, everybody wants to have sex, okay? It's just that it doesn't necessarily have to be on the first, second, or third, or even, you know, the 10th date. And so when I look at boomer dating, you know, there are several forms of intimacy. There's the physical intimacy, there's the intellectual intimacy, and there's the romantic intimacy. And so, you know, you're building a foundation for a potential relationship, and sex is part of that. But, you know, when I ask men, how long are you willing to wait to have sex with someone you really, really are interested in? And the response is always, I'll wait as long as it takes until she's ready. I'm not going to push it. So don't think you need to have sex right away. But if you're in an intimate relationship with someone, you know, you need to be affectionate. You need to hold hands. You need to, you know, put your arm around that person. You know, you need to, you know, make out. You know, you need to, you know, show some level of romantic interest. But when it comes down to finally deciding that you want to have sex, you know, I'm of the belief that you should discuss this with your partner and make sure that you're both on the same page about being exclusive, because there's nothing worse than, you know, taking your clothes off, sleeping with someone, and then watching them back on the dating app, and then you feel horrible about yourself. So it's about, you know, respect. And I would say with romance and respect, it's also about saying, you know, I look forward to getting there. You know, I love the way things are going. We're going in that direction. I look forward to that. I'm not ready today.
So, Julie Spira, you're a dating expert, and it's a whole business here. Tell us about your business and things that, you know, what can someone expect, you know, being involved with your business?
Well, thank you. Well, I love Cyber Dating Expert, and it was birthed after I was an early adopter of online dating. I think Cosmo dubbed me the pioneer of online dating. I can't say I pioneered it, but I can say that I created my first profile and profiles for others before there ever was a Match.com or an eHarmony or a Facebook or an iPhone. So I'm entering my 30th year this year, 3 decades of helping singles find love. And we have a really fun program called the Digital Matchmaker VIP. And it's where I basically look at your profile and I just revamp it and start all over again, or we create a brand new one if you haven't been online at all. And it's really fun. We get new photos, we caption the photos, you know, and I help craft, you know, the messaging as the wing girl with someone. I will not write messages when I'm not with the person, because I really believe in authenticity. And so we Zoom once a week and I help pick out the matches and I say, here's a hidden gem. And this person is, you know, has too many red flags, you know, swipe left. And so we work together for 3 to 6 months and we perfect the profile, we change it. And I know the word count and I know the best keywords and I can tell who are the players and the bad boys and who are the hidden gems. And we have a wonderful time. And it really is just an opportunity for someone, especially new to dating again after a very long relationship or marriage, to put their best digital foot forward.
Julie, how did you get interested in doing this for a living?
Well, I'm a broadcaster, okay? I have a broadcasting and technology background. Yeah. And so I was always a storyteller. And I was always fascinated with technology. So I found myself single. I guess this was 30 years ago. It was 1994. And I was a busy technology executive. So I started studying the intersection of love and technology. And I started writing my own profile. Chat rooms, love it, AOL, dial-up internet. And so I went from dial-up through mobile. And once I realized I had the secret sauce and people were getting married who I worked with, I gave up my day job and decided to focus 100% on launching my book, which became a bestseller, The Perils of Cyber Dating, Confessions of a Hopeful Romantic Looking for Love Online. And a few years ago, I narrated the audiobook version, which was a lot of fun, especially for a radio girl. And launched Cyber Dating Expert and started writing dating advice for Match and Plenty of Fish and Tinder and Bumble and, oh my gosh, eHarmony and Zoosk and just about everyone. And I'm just so grateful to be in such a wonderful industry. And love is my favorite four-letter word.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Julie Spira. The website. We have to say the website.
Please visit my website. It's so cute. It's called cyberdatingexpert.com. There's a blog there with a lot of great dating advice. You'll see an interview with myself and Maria Shriver on the Today Show, where we talked about the upward trend of older women dating younger men. Yeah. And it's a really great segment. You'll find that on my homepage, and you can learn more about the programs, which are Going Steady, Totally in Love, and the Digital Matchmaker VIP, the most popular one.
Any final thoughts on boomer dating and anything else we've talked about?
I would say my final thoughts are, remember to be genuine and authentic. If you're insecure about the way you look, you know, so is the person that you're going to go on a date with. They're going to look in the mirror and not feel like they did in their 30s and 40s and 50s. And so I think it's really essential to be authentic and genuine, to date with intent, to cast a very wide net and meet someone that you would want to be friends with, that you would set your friend up on a date with, even if you don't think they're perfect for you, just to sort of expand your social circle. And then, of course, I always say, remember that zip codes and age should not be a barrier to finding love.
Very good. All right. Julie Spira, thank you so much for the insight. I know there are boomers listening to this who will go back and listen to it again and again and check out your website and hopefully become clients and find love.
Well, thank you so much for having me as a guest, and happy Valentine's Day to everyone. And believe me, even with all the four seasons, there's always an opportunity to find love.
Here's what's coming up on Boomer Randomness.
I post new episodes on Tuesdays. Not sure what's next, but I am working on topics like music and TV commercials, cars, travel, running for public office in your community, and more. I'm Bernie Lucas. As always, thanks for listening, and please tell your friends about this podcast.
Learn more about Boomer Life and sign up for episode updates at BoomerRandomness.com. And check us out on the Boomer Randomness Facebook. Okay, Boomer. Thanks for listening, and tell everyone you know about Boomer Randomness.